Zach. I'm the host, Joanne, and I'll be joined by a guest talking about something that makes them smile, even though I probably don't know much about it. I have two guidelines, no punching or pushing, so we're aiming to discuss these topics without insulting anything else or pressing political and social issues. We're just here to learn new things and share the things that bring us joy.
Let's get into it.
So this week I am here with KT. KT is the host of the Utopic Socialist podcast. And what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I believe we had discussed talking about bees, right?
Yes. Yes, we did. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, bees are one of those things that I know kind of a few years ago, it became very, I don't want to say like trendy, but in the public eye of the necessity of bees. And I know some people who do bee farming. So it's one of those fields that I'm a little familiar with, but not super.
Yeah.
So what is it like specifically that you would like to kind of get to in the bee genre?
Bees are just sort of a passion of mine that I, you know, that I hold. Of course, you know, I talk about socialism and everything like that. That's fine. But bees are really where it's at. When we just like sort of think about life and everything, because to me, bees represent like a creation, as in most aspects can sort of seem like a, you know, a destruction.
Oh.
And so something I like to think about is a fact of, if you were to put, like, let's say goats out in a field, they're going to eat everything they can get their hands on because they're goats. And whereas if you put bees in that same field, they're going to create more, you know, plant life and material, and they're going to make the environment itself more fertile for all the creatures around it. That's just kind of the way I think of it. You know, like bees are just like a natural, you know, they just create because they themselves create the environment which best benefits them. And so, that's why.
That's really, really cool. Do you do any like bee farming or anything, or is this a observational interest of yours only?
I've been to apiaries before. You know, I really enjoy being around bees, but also it's more of just an observational thing as well. So a lot of it. I don't have an apiary myself. Would I open up an apiary if I was presented the opportunity to do so? Probably.
Okay. So I guess do you have any like trivia or like things that people might not know or understand about bees?
Well, the first thing I think most people don't realize about bees is that they're livestock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a weird thing to think about, but bees aren't like most bees, and like especially like the ones that we grow and everything, is like, they're just considered livestock because we can mass produce them. You know, it's just like heads of cattle. It's really easy to just like mass produce bees. You know, farmers, you know, they're losing more bees year on year due to like CCD and varroa mites, but otherwise, like, we can just generate more bees because of the way we grow them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if you want bees, you just, like, order a queen, and then they come with, like, the queen and the queen's staff. Yeah, because the queen bees actually can't feed themselves.
Oh, really?
Like they can't digest anything. Like, yeah, it's really weird, but, like, the queen bee has to be cleaned and fed and taken care of by, like, a small staff of bees. Otherwise, the queen will die.
So, and does the queen ever leave the hive?
Yeah, she does. The queen leaves the hive when the hive gets too big. So what'll happen is, let's say the bees don't like the queen, they'll either let her die or they will make a new queen by making some royal jelly. And then once that new queen is born, then the other queen will leave with half of the hive. They will leave with like half of the like the stored resources and half of the bees, and they will go off to form a new hive because the queen can fly. Can't eat, but flying is what it, is the thing it chose.
That's so cool. Like, it's so weird how nature just works this way. I mean, I know evolution, right? And things work ways mm-hmm. for reasons, but like it's so complex. Like, only bees can figure out a bee life.
Yeah. Well, bees will also attack other beehives.
Like within the same species of bees?
Yeah. So let's say you got one beehive near another beehive. If the other beehive learns about that beehive, the one beehive will send like people to go take stuff from that hive. They will raid the hive, basically.
Oh, no.
So we're kind of like humans in that respect of like, they have stuff. I want that stuff. I'm going to go get that stuff.
That's really interesting. So I'm kind of curious more about the queen bee, because like, this is one of those things that you hear about frequently, but I never quite understand, and I never quite know what is internet rumor versus reality. So, like, first of all, are all other bees male? Is there really only, like, one female bee?
No. So, all of the worker bees are female. All of the drones are male.
Oh, really?
The drones screw the queen, and then they die.
Oh, well, you know.
They don't do anything else. Like during the winter, like they will, like all the female bees will kick all of the male bees out of the hive because they don't do anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They will force all of the male bees out of the hive so that they die. in the cold air, and then they will just buzz inside of the hive to keep the queen warm.
And then what is the deal with the royal jelly? Because, like, you say that they'll make royal jelly, so is that something that bees can, like, actively choose to do?
Yeah, the same way bees make honey, bees decide to make royal jelly. It's a different process. They will actually, on the honeycomb, they'll build a special little pod for it, and then they will grow royal jelly in that little pod because they want to get a new queen. So whether they think the hive is too big, or, like, the hive has too many bees in it, or if they don't like their queen and they don't want to kill her, they'll make a new one, basically. Because the bees have a weird social structure in the fact that they can, like, dislike someone. It's weird to think that animals can do that, but they absolutely can when it comes to bees.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you just kind of wonder if the queen, like, sees the royal jelly getting made and is like, hold on. Okay. Let me reevaluate how we're doing things around here. Susie B, you can take Tuesdays off.
Yeah. Yeah, let's have an HR meeting, guys. Like,
we don't need the royal jelly right now. We're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The weirdest thing to me is the fact that the original queen is the one that leaves the hive. That was what shocked me when I learned about that. Like, you're telling me the person who lives in a place, a new guy shows up and they have to leave? I'm like,
yeah, that's crazy. Is the royal jelly something that's, like, useful to humans at all? Like, the way that we collect honey, is there a market for royal jelly, or is it just kind of like a...
Yes. Yes, medical. It's medical because it's a big medical use. Yeah. So what they use it for is, I think, malnutrition, and it's used for, like, some high grade medical stuff that they do it with. I think babies is mostly involved with that, because royal jelly is like honey, just really, really compacted, like, nutrient wise, because it's just very full of it. So they use it for that.
As far as like harvesting the honey goes, is that something that bees just kind of learn to compensate and make more for people taking it? Is that, like, detrimental to them? How does the whole stealing their honey thing actually play out in their minds?
Well, so the first thing we do is we convince them their hive is on fire.
That sounds awful.
Well, it calms them down. which is really weird. It's a really weird sentence, but that's why.
Okay. I feel like that maybe needs a little bit of elaboration. Is it, like, they don't mind their hive being on fire? Or is it, like, they get, like, stoned practically? Like,
I'm not certain, but, like, I read that sentence and I was like, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Because, like, if my house was on fire, I would not be calmed by that experience. I wouldn't have, like, a calm rationale, no. Like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. You know, that's not how I would respond at all.
I wonder if it's just, like, that serene acceptance, like, the second between knocking the glass over and the glass hitting the floor, where your brain is just like, welp, this glass is going to break and there's nothing I can do about it anymore. I wonder if it's that, like, for the bees, it's just like, well, my home is on fire, I might as well chill. Like, there's no point in working now.
Yeah. Well, another thing is, so a lot of beekeepers will just, like, leave sugar and water out for the bees so they can go get it and, like, eat off of that. But mostly bees can also produce enough honey, like, where we take the extra, basically, because they are very, like, honeybees are very, very productive, especially now because we've been, like, breeding them to be extremely productive, that they basically produce enough honey to where we can take their excess.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good then. That's good to know. Perfect. Now, you said honeybees. There's clearly different types of bees, which are different from hornets and wasps.
Yeah. Generally, though, like, it's over here in, like, America, we use Italian and Russian queens, because, like, the type of bee stems exclusively from the queen. And that's, like, you know, if you think about it, like, I want to start a beehive, you just get the queen and then they take care of it. It's kind of weird to think about, but it's, like, the one component that, and then the queen just produces everything else.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
I wouldn't recommend eating, like, wasps' honey. It's not that great.
I guess I didn't think that wasps made honey.
Yeah, there's a lot of creatures that actually make honey aside from bees.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't remember if it's wasps or hornets. But yeah, bees aren't the only species of insect that produce honey as, like, a food source.
Huh. I had no idea. I assumed it was bees only.
Yeah, no. Surprisingly not. We only eat bees' honey because it's kind of the best out of all of them.
This has been very, very interesting. Like, so many things that I did not know about bees, and I absolutely love it. Was there anything specific that you were kind of, like, hoping to get to or touch on about bees specifically?
Not really. I think bees are just sort of an interesting topic that, like, you know, oftentimes we get this, like, in our headspace, like, oh, the bees are dying. We need to, like, save the bees. And we can't actually, like talk about, like, how cool the bees are. You know, it's like, save the bees, but can we at least talk about, like, the fact that they're cool? That's my thinking when it comes to it.
No, I agree completely.
Yeah, and the worst thing, though, about bees that they're suffering from right now is called varroa mites.
And what is that?
So imagine that you had a tick the size of a chihuahua that jumped on your back and began to eat you.
I don't want to imagine that.
I know, right? But that's effectively what a varroa mite is to a bee. And yeah, that's what happens is while bees are out pollinating everything, a bee will touch down, the varroa mites will hop onto it, and then it will fly back to its hive, and then they will spread throughout the hive and then eat all the bees.
Hmm. That's awful. Is that like a new problem, or is that just one of those things that nature does because nature's awful sometimes?
Well, it's an invasive species. So it's like over here in North America, like we haven't had to deal with it for very long. There is a place left in the world. There's a couple places, but I know that there's an island in Canada where they don't have varroa mites as a problem yet. So they're very, very, very careful about the bees that they let in there, because if there is a varroa mite on the bees, then like they can just spread wildly, and then you like now you have to deal with another problem for the beekeeping.
Is there any solution to these currently? Like,
there's a couple of sprays that people use. That's the main thing. But in terms of it, it's like mostly it's like quarantining. Like they've had to set hives on fire before. When you like have an infestation, it's too bad. It's not become a problem large enough to where it's necessitated a large enough like investment of money to really get like good solid solutions to the problems. But they're working on it effectively. It would be the best way to put it.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. I mean, and I like, you know, at the beginning, we were kind of talking about socially. It's interesting the way bees like work together and have their communities, and they're very complex. And I feel like a lot of creatures, when you take a closer look at them, like it's not just a bee. It's not just a thing that flies around and stings you. Like it has a purpose, and they kind of have things that they're doing, which is sometimes hard to remember with simple animals.
Yeah, like they understand airflow. Bees will build their hives and like the way to maximize airflow, unless like we have special ways of like setting up like the cases where the hives are, so that like we get it to build where it's easier for us. But the way bees build their hives is to maximize airflow throughout.
So like for cooling purposes, or like to help them fly easier, or what's the intent there?
It has to do with hive ventilation.
Okay.
And keeping it at a certain temperature. Bees don't like to be too hot, but bees also don't like to be too cold. And so like that's the reason they'll do that is like they try to manage it where it's easier for them to get together. Because like the way bees heat their hive is by shaking.
Oh, there's like little vibration for warmth.
Yeah, like that's what they do. They will like during the winter, they will ball up into like a very, very small part of the hive and will just vibrate around the queen. That is effectively what they do. And they also are very, very clean animals. So like when they have to like produce waste, they will leave the hive to do it. Even if it means they're going to die by touching the cold air outside. Yeah, they will leave the hive.
Oh, like it's interesting how like selfless bees are, you know, as far as like leaving to take care of that so the other bees don't have to deal with it. But like they're all working to support each other.
Well, they got one goal in life.
They've got one goal in life?
Keep the queen alive. Yeah, that's their one goal.
Unless they decide that they don't like her.
Yeah, then it's get a new queen to keep alive.
Okay, fair point.
I guess so we should rephrase it. Instead of keep the queen alive, keep a queen alive.
Yeah. What happens if a queen bee dies and there's nobody there to take her place? Can they get another one?
Yeah, they can make another one. That's with the royal jelly. If the queen dies, then the bees will scatter.
Okay, I wasn't sure if like they needed one in the running before the queen dies.
No, they can make one by themselves. They're somewhat independent, but yeah, if the queen dies and they don't have anybody like to come up to make a new like queen out of, then they will scatter basically and go try to find a new queen, like a new hive to be a part of. Yeah, but yeah, generally though, that doesn't happen.
There's no way for a bee to become a queen bee that wasn't like bred to be the queen bee.
No, it happens in the early stages of development where they feed it royal jelly, and then which causes it to, you know, be weird, basically, have a weird appearance. But yeah, like there's videos and everything online where you can see like guys and like will grab a hold of the queens, and then just like if they're trying to transport it, the bee swarm will just go all around their arm, and they'll just like mob up because their concern is to be around the queen. And so like you can like hold the queen in your hand, and all the bees will come to it. Now, if it's an aggressive queen, you're not going to want to do that.
Wow. That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, like that's the thing. When like beekeepers like know like how their queen is. If you have a queen, or a mean queen, then yeah, you're gonna want to like suit up, be like prepared, you know, get the whole thing. But if it's not a mean queen, if it's pretty like chill and chillaxed, you can go out there with no concern of getting stung.
Interesting. And so the queen bee does look visually different from the other bees.
Yeah, well, it has the egg laying potential. It has like that, and you know, it's larger as well because it has. Okay. It's the only one that like. The rest of the bees are like what you would consider like infertile, because it's the queen's job to lay all the eggs, and that's the male's job to, you know, be responsible for fertilization. So then the worker bees are just kind of like, well, this is our lot in life of keep the queen alive, you know?
Interesting.
I sort of think of it like a Mean Girl movie, you know, where it's like, you know, like the one girl, and then you have like a bunch of girls that surround her, that are like for her.
But, sure. Yeah. Yep.
That makes sense. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I absolutely get what you're talking about. Very cool. And is it true that bees communicate through like dancing and wiggles?
Yeah, that's how they talk to each other, because like they will just move around and like they can tell people like tell other bees like where pollen is and like where a good place to be is and where bad stuff is. They can't talk for sure. At least I haven't heard them yet.
Right. But a lot of other like bugs and insects will like chirp or chitter or have almost like a hiss sort of a noise. Like, I don't know. It's very cute.
Yeah. Bees will just, you know, buzz around, and that will let other bees know. It's kind of like sign language, but it uses your whole body as opposed to just your hands.
Very cool. And is it true that if a bee stings you and loses its stinger, it'll die? Or is that a legend?
No, that's true. What isn't true is that if it stings anything, it'll die.
Oh.
Yeah. So like when think of a tail as basically like barbed wire. So when it, like, if you stab like us with barbed wire, we have very, very thick skin. So it, like, the barbs get caught in our skin and they will rip themselves apart trying to pull out of it. That's why bees don't like to sting us, because they know they'll die.
Okay. Aww.
But bees will sting other animals and, like, yeah, like other insects especially. The reason their tails are barbarous is so that if there's another insect that gets in the hive, when they sting into that, they rip out parts of the shell of the other insects. Like, they rip out parts of it, which is really, really damaging to it. Whereas with us, they know that they can't do that to us, because they will die. So they're resistant to do so.
You know, I've never once thought about the fact that like ratio wise, a bee's stinger for another creature is absolutely huge. Like, I just think about it hurts because it's a tiny little like needle going into us, but like it's like a harpoon going into something else that's small.
Yeah, it's a toxin filled needle. It's a toxin filled barbed wire spear getting shoved into us. It's not like, it's not exactly like what we're looking for, you know?
No, but like, I guess I never thought of it through another insect's perspective of like how much worse it is if you're at the same scale as a bee.
Now, if you get stabbed, but like if you get stung by a bee, it's a good idea to use honey to put on it because it helps with the bee sting.
Really? Is that true, or are you messing with me?
No, that is true. Yeah, you can use honey to help treat bee stings. That's interesting enough. Like, honey is great for so many things. It's like, even as a food source, it's fantastic because the amount of vitamins it has in it and the fact that it lasts literally forever.
Yeah. Yeah, that I have heard before. Also, it's delicious, which doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Plus, it's a great allergy treatment as well. If you get local, unfiltered, like raw honey, it's really great for allergies.
I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, so it's like, so if you get like local honey, it's basically like all of the pollen and stuff in the air is like what they get from that, so they make the honey out of it. So if you get like raw, unfiltered honey, you basically introduce that to your body, and your body learns to be more accepting of it.
Huh.
It works for me anyways. It may not work for everybody, but it works for me. And I've heard it works for other people, so.
It does make an amount of sense, because I know like with pet allergies, for example, if you're regularly exposed to that animal, usually your allergies will start to die down, because at a certain point your body just like accepts, well, this is my life, I don't need to fight it, it's not that bad. So I guess it makes sense like when I apply that logic to it, but I'd never heard of it before, and that's really interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we could probably start to wrap it up there. Did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about or get to on the topic before we wrap it up?
Not really. I would like, of course, to say thank you for having me today. It was a great, you know, conversation. I'll talk about bees anytime. You know, they're a very fun topic to talk about. You know, definitely something that I think is a great mixed company conversation.
Yeah, you were more than welcome. It was really interesting to learn about a bunch of things that I didn't know about, or like I had some concept of, but kind of like a vague you know, like I said, like an internet understanding where it's like, well, I saw this on Facebook once, so who knows? So yeah, it was very interesting. And if people are looking to hear more from you, where would you have them check you out?
Well, of course, you can find my podcast. It's called The Utopic Socialist. Basically, it's little discussions about socialist values dedicated to like you as a person in your local community. So it's actions that you can take to improve your world. And additionally, you'll find me on like Twitter at Proto-Socialist. that's all where I am.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you again for coming on.
And of course, thank you for having me. It was a wonderful conversation.
If you're a curious person that likes encouraging others, please consider subscribing to discover a new topic with me each week. If you have a topic you'd like to add to the stack, please email theturtlestack@gmail.com. You could also help grow the community by liking, rating, and telling others.
Thanks for listening.